أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين.
اللهم
verse number 105. وقل اعملوا فسيرى الله عملكم ورسوله والمؤمنون وستردون إلى عالم الغيب والشهادة فينبئكم بما كنتم تعملون. And say, go on working, Allah will see your conduct and His apostle and the faithful as well, and you will be returned to the knower of the sensible and the unseen, and He will inform you concerning what you used to do. If you remember, we had a similar verse to the same effects in verse number 94, the last part of the verse number 94. There we had وَسَيَرَى اللَّهُ عَمَلَكُمْ وَرَسُولُهُ ثُمَّ تُرَدُّونَ إِلَىٰ عَالِمِ الْغَيْبِ وَالشَّهَادَةِ فَيُنَبِّئُكُمْ بِمَا كُنْتُمْ تَعْمَلُونَ. Allah and His apostle will observe your conduct. Then you will be returned to the knower of the sensible and the unseen, and he will inform you concerning what he used to do. So, almost exactly the same meaning is repeated, with the exception that here another group are added to those who witness the actions of the people, and these are al-mu'minun. فَسَيَرَى اللَّهُ عَمَلَكُمْ وَرَسُولُهُ وَالْمُؤْمِنُونَ. Now, we have two sets of meanings that we can offer for this verse and the similar verse previously. One is the zahir meaning and the other is batin meaning. Or in other words, the one meaning is tafsir and the other meaning is ta'wil. Of course, ta'wil is not something that we can have access to. We only have to mention a ta'wil of a verse if it is mentioned by A'imma alayhim salam themselves or by the Prophet, peace be upon him. Otherwise, we don't have access to the ta'wil of the Quran. Now, the tafsir of this verse is that it is encouraging everyone, mu'minun and munafiqun together, to work good, to pay zakat, to pay sadaqat, because it was mentioning paying zakat and sadaqat, and that Allah would receive sadaqat, and Prophet should pray for anyone bringing sadaqat to him. So here it means that do good as much as you could, because Allah and the Prophet and Mu'minun will see what you do, and this would give you a good repute in community, also would give you a good status among the Mu'minun. And then, of course, you will be returned to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and He will inform you of what you have been doing. The previous verse, which mentioned only Allah and the Prophet seeing your a'mal, because it was about munafiqun, and munafiqun were trying to deceive and to trick the Prophet, peace be on him. The verse said that Allah and His Prophet will see your actions and will judge you afterwards, and you will be returned to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you will be judged in final judgment. Here, since it is general, both mu'minun and munafiqun are concerned, then the verse says that mu'minun, the Prophet, and Allah will see your actions. The ta'wil, or the batin meaning of the verse, which has come from A'imma alayhim salam, is that it does not relate to the apparent meaning of the people. It relates to exactly the same meaning as it is mentioned at the end of the verse. Now, if you think about what comes at the end of the verse, that, and you will be returned to the knower of the sensible and the unseen, and he will inform you concerning what you used to do. Now, we mentioned before that this informing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the information coming to people is not just telling them what they were doing, because everyone knows what they are doing. بَلَ الْإِنسَانُ عَلَىٰ نَفْسِهِ بَصِيرَةٌ, as is mentioned in Surah Qiyamah. Everyone is aware of what is inside them. وَلَوْ أَلْقَى مَعَاذِيرَ, of course we have lots of excuses, pretexts. Why did we do such things? Well, we didn't do certain things. But we know our personality, we know what we have done in the past, we know what we are doing in the present. So there's no need for someone else informing us of what we have been doing. And these many, many verses, there are tens of verses in the Quran saying that when you return to Allah on the Day of Judgment, He will inform you of what you were doing. Now, this informing is informing us about the reality of our actions, not what we understand from them apparently. For example, when we do a sin or do something false, we think that, okay, this was just a sin that we would forget or Allah would forgive, and it was just a type of cheating or lying or something like that. It had some benefit for us and it polluted our soul a little bit, and we will do istighfar about it. But the point is, there is a reality of this action, whether cheating or lying or backbiting, which will appear on the Day of Judgment. There are realities of these things which will appear in Barzakh, realities of these things which would appear on the Day of Judgment, and realities of these things which would appear in Paradise and in Hell, all in different depths and different levels. Now, when Allah says that on the Day of Judgment, Allah will inform you about what you will do, it means that you will see the reality of these actions. It's not just Allah telling us, it's a type of understanding, realization of what we have been doing in this world and what are the true and real meaning of all these things. In a sense, what is the ta'wil of all these, as the Quran mentions. هَلْ يَنْظُرُونَ إِلَّا تَأْوِيلَهُ, are they waiting, but waiting for the ta'wil of all these things coming under the objection. So we are waiting for something like that, and Allah will inform us about it. Now, the bottom meaning of the verse which we are informed about by A'imma alayhi salam is that Allah of course would see that aspect of our actions, that reality now. Allah is seeing this. Of course Allah sees everything. He knows when, for example, we do something wrong or something good, what is the reality of it on the Day of Judgment, how it turns, how it to what type of thing it would transform. Allah knows. Now, the Prophet also knows it, knows to what thing it transforms, and that's why the Prophet informs us about it. Says that if, for example, someone, as he saw all these things in Mi'raj, that, for example, I saw people that they were like ants, people were trampling upon them, and I realized that these were the arrogance. This was the reality of their arrogance, for example. Of course, all these are mentioned in metaphorical language for us because we cannot realize, understand it. But the Prophet also sees the reality of these actions in this world. And here, of course, وَالْمُؤْمِنُونَ, and مُؤْمِنُونَ also see. Certainly, this couldn't be all مُؤْمِنُونَ. It should refer to a particular type of mu'minun, a distinct group of mu'minun that we see. And of course, the A'imma have mentioned this for us, that here by mu'minun, it means the A'imma alayhi salam. So, Imam Ali alayhi salam at his time, he saw the reality of all these actions. And at every epoch, at the time of every Imam, they saw the reality of the actions of both Munafiqun and Mu'minun and everyone. And now the Imam al-Asr alayhi salam sees the reality of all these actions. And the ta'wil of the other verse, which A'imma have used to corroborate or support this, is that وكذلك جعلناكم أمة وسطا لتكونوا شهداء على الناس ويكون الرسول عليكم شهيدا. In this way we have made you a medium ummah, a group which goes in between the Prophet and the ummah, so that you witness the a'mal of the people and the Prophet would witness your a'mal. And you are the ones who actually bear this witness about the actions of everyone. Now again, this ummah does not refer to the whole Muslimu. It refers to a group of Muslims. This is particularly common in Quran, using arm, a general term, and the purpose of that arm and general term is khas, it's a group of people. And we can realize it ourselves. For example, in some verses, the Quran says, إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الَّذِينَ هُمْ فِي صَلَاتِهِمْ خَاشِعُونَ. The mu'minun are only those who are khashi', who are humble. Humble is an attribute related to the heart in their salat. Well, we know that not all mu'minun are humble in their salat, but most mu'minun are absent-minded in the salat. So the ayah is particularly targeting a group of mu'minun and says that these are the real mu'minun, of course. Also, at the end of Surah Hajj, again the A'imma have said that this is, of course, the term is arm for mu'minun, but the purpose, the target of that is khas, it's only us to whom Allah refers. Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu taqullaha wa abudu. Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, what's the verse, sorry. Just skipped off of my mind. Exactly the same ayah. Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu rka'u wasjudu wa'budu rabbakum wa'alu alkhayra la'allakum tuflahoon. O you who have faith, bow down and prostrate yourselves and worship your Lord and do good so that you may be felicitous. Wajahidu fi Allahi haqqa jihadi, and wage jihad for the sake of Allah, a jihad which is worthy of Him. Haqqa jihadi. This is not what we can do, of course. We can do وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ مَا اسْتَطَعْتُمْ. Do fear God as much as you can. Not what He deserves. Not وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ حَقَّ تُغَاتِهِ. Type of taqwa that He deserves, we cannot do it. We can just do as much as we can. Here, of course, the verse says, and wage jihad. Of course, here jihad means exerting effort for the sake of Allah, not going to war. وَجَانِدُوا فِي اللَّهَ حَقَّ جِهَادِ. هُوَ اجْتَبَاكُمْ. He has chosen you. And this اجْتَبَا is also a technical term. This اجْتَبَا, which means to choose, is a technical term used only for Siddiqeen in the Qur'an, not for any other people. وَمَا جَعَلَ عَلَيْكُمْ فِي الدِّينَ مِنْ حَرَجٍ. And has not placed for you any obstacle in the religion. Again, this is something which is only for the Prophet and for Alim alayhi salam. مِلَّةَ أَبِيكُمْ إِبْرَاهِيمُ. The faith of your father, Abraham. هُوَ سَمَّاكُمُ الْمُسْلِمِينَ مِنْ قَبْلُ وَفِي هَذَا. He named you Muslims before. And in this book, لَيَكُونَ الرَّسُولُ شَهِيدًا عَلَيْكُمْ وَتَكُونُ شُهَدًا عَلَى النَّاسِ. So that the Prophet shall be a witness to you and that you may be witness to mankind. Now again, this is something at the end said that Allah is your Mawla, هُوَ مَوْلَاكُمْ فَنِعْمَ الْمَوْلَى وَنِعْمَ النَّسِيرُ. Something which is a general term is used for mu'minun, but a particular group of people are men. And this is what also Amirul Mu'minin mentions in Nahjul Balagha, that you cannot understand the meaning of the Qur'an unless you know all these things, the arm and khas. Sometimes a term is used in general terms, but a particular group of people are men. Sometimes a particular person is mentioned, but it's generally all Muslims are meant by it, and so on and so forth. Now, if we come to this, فَسَيَرَى اللَّهُ عَمَلَكُمْ وَرَسُولُهُ وَالْمُؤْمِنُونَ. A group of mu'minun will see your actions, as Allah and the apostles will see the reality of your actions. The way that Allah would inform you about it, and they were your objectives. The reality of your actions are seen by these people. And we have many ahadith by Amirul Mu'mineen alayhi salam saying that he knows, for example, his Shia. He knows who is his follower, who is not his follower. Although by name, for example, everyone claims that they are the Shia. Remember at the beginning of Khutbah Muttaqoon, the very purpose of composing such a khutbah was a group of people who came to Amir al-Mu'mineen and they said, we are your Shia, we are your follower. And Amir al-Mu'mineen said, I do not see the sign of my followers in your face. And then Hammam was there and asked, Ya Amir al-Mu'mineen, what are the signs of your followers? And then he started to mention the khutbah, that my followers are muttaqoon, and muttaqoon have all these characteristics. So it was clearly seen by them, as it is seen on the Day of Judgment, as it's mentioned in the Quran in Surah A'raf, that وَعَلَى الْأَعْرَافِ رِجَالٌ, there are some people on the heights of the Day of Judgment, the heights to both sides of which are, in one side are mu'minun, in the other side are kuffar. And the Quran says, of course, there are a group of people which are neither among the kuffar nor among the mu'minun. They are distinct from the both group. They are on the heights, on the wall which separates these two. وَعَلَى الْأَعْرَافِ رِجَالٌ يَعْرِفُونَ كُلًّا بِسِيمَاهُمْ, they know everyone in their face by their signs, the signs which are in their face. يَعْرِفُونَ كُلًّا بِسِيمَاهُمْ, and then they would speak to them about what they did in this world. And this is something, as I said, we can find the evidence for it in ayat of the Quran and in many, many ahadith from the Prophet and from Ahlul Bayt, that a group of mu'minun who are those mujtaba, those who are who have been chosen by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they see things like the Prophet saw, and Prophet saw things like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, why this should be like that? Why Allah says that Allah would see your, of course, the reality of what you do, and He will inform you about that reality, in meaning that you will see it yourself on the Day of Judgment. Why the Prophet should see, and why a group of mu'minun should see, the purest of mu'minun should see this? Because they want to do shafa'ah on the Day of Judgment. And shafa'ah is not possible but through shahada. In fact, when the Quran says that لَتَكُونُوا شُهَدَاءَ عَلَى النَّاسِ, you have to witness to mu'minun, to the people. You have to bear witness, or you have to see what the people do, because you want to do shafa'ah on the Day of Judgment. So shahada and shafa'ah. Shahada, of course, is mentioned in the Quran very much. لَتَكُونُوا شُهَدَاءَ عَلَى النَّاسِ وَيَكُونَ الرَّسُولُ عَلَيْكُمْ شَهِدًا. Shafa'ah is also used, but not for this world, for the Day of Judgment. This shafa'ah and shahada, as Allama Tawatawai mentioned in his tafsir as well, these are two sides of the same thing. Unless they can witness here what people have done, they cannot do shafa'ah on the Day of Judgment. Even if you look into the verses of Surah A'raf, which talks about these people talking to others, to mu'minun and to kuffar, it's nice to go through these verses. The verses says that, well, of course, the mu'minun and the kuffar come, there is a wall between them. وَبَيْنَهُمَا حِجَابٌ, verse 46 of Surah A'raf. وَبَيْنَهُمَا حِجَابٌ, and there will be a veil between them. وَعَلَى الْأَعْرَافِ رِجَالٌ, and on the elevations will be certain men. يَعْرِفُونَ كُلًّا بِسِيمَاهُمْ, who recognize each of them by their mark. وَنَادَوْ أَصْحَابَ الْجَنَّةِ, they will call out to inhabitants of paradise. أَنْ سَلَامٌ عَلَيْكُمْ, peace be to you, means you are secure. Now, why these people should say this? Why these people, shouldn't Allah inform them that they are secure? Shouldn't the angels inform them that they are secure? What is the role of these people there? How do they know that these people are secure? They haven't entered Jannah yet. They haven't finished their journey to paradise yet, because it says لَمْ يَدْخُلُوهَا, though they would not have entered it yet, though they would be eager to do so. وَهُمْ يَطْمَعُونَ, they hope that they will enter paradise. They haven't finished their journey. Just this word coming to them that you are secure would give them reassurance that yes, they are going to go to paradise. This is the end now of the journey, the long journey they have come to enter the paradise. So what is the role of these people? How can they say that these people are secure, except by supposing that they know what is the reality of their actions? They see completely in each person's face what has been the reality of their actions, and therefore they inform that you are secure. And salamun alaykum lam yadkhuluha wa hum yatma'un. وَإِذَا صُرِفَتْ أَبْصَارُهُمْ تِلْقَاءَ أَصْحَابِ النَّارِ, and when their look is turned towards the inmates of the fire, which are going to be inmates of the fire, they haven't been inmates of fire yet, they would enter it soon. قَالُوا رَبَّنَا لَا تَجْعَلْنَا مَعَ الْقَوْمِ الظَّالِمِينَ, they would say, our Lord, do not put us among the wrongdoing lot. So again, they see the reality of the actions of this batch of people as well. And they get frightened seeing what calamity is going to befall them. And they beseech to Allah that they are not somehow entangled by such a destination. وَنَادَى أَصْحَابُ الْأَعْرَافِ رِجَالًا يَعْرِفُونَهُمْ بِسِيمَاهُمْ, and the occupants of the elevations will call out to certain men whom they recognize by their marks. Again, not only the mu'minun they recognize by their marks, the kuffar they recognize by their marks. قَالُوا مَا أَغْنَى عَنْكُمْ جَمْعُكُمْ وَمَا كُنْتُمْ تَسْتَكْبِرُونَ, your rallying did not avail nor what he used to disdain. Because now they are informing them about the reality of their actions. أَهَٰؤُلَىٰ الَّذِينَ أَقْسَمْتُمْ لَا يَنَالُهُمُ اللَّهُ بِرَحْمَةٍ, are these, pointing to the أَصْحَابُ الْجَنَّةِ, the ones concerning whom you saw that Allah will not extend them any mercy? أُدْخُلُوا الْجَنَّةَ لَا خَوْفٌ عَلَيْكُمْ وَلَا أَنْتُمْ تَحْزَنُونَ, enter paradise. Now this is very interesting, because the final go-ahead to enter paradise comes from these people. They will usher them to paradise, and they will tell them that they now can enter paradise. Enter paradise, you shall have no fear, nor shall you have grief. And this is the type of shafa'a that they do. They will somehow make these people qualified for entering paradise by witnessing what they have done, the reality of their actions, and then by bringing the orders of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to them on the day of judgment that they can enter paradise. Of course, the reality of shafa'ah is not clear for us. What is the reality of shafa'ah? How we are helped there by the Prophet and by Imam Ali Mustafa? The only thing that may come to mind is that we cannot find our way in this world except through the Prophets and the Siddiqeen, the Imam Ali Mustafa. Unless we are guided by them, unless we are told what to do, what are the reality of these neat actions that we do. For example, we want to get closer to God. What should we do? How should we worship? They will tell us. They will tell us that this is the way. On the day of judgment, again, we don't know how we have to approach the Lord, how we have to go towards paradise, whether we are allowed to enter paradise or not. And these people will tell us. It is another, the other side of this hidayah, which comes in this world, comes in the other world. Now, we can say three concepts are very close to each other. Hidayah, shahada, and shafa'ah. Now, they are all three aspects of the same thing. Hidayah comes to us, if we follow that hidayah, then there are some realities of that hidayah which form us and form our actions. The reality of those actions are witnessed by the Prophet and by Ahmad. And on the Day of Judgment, hidayah and shahada come together. And if we have followed the hidayah, if that shahada would tell that we have followed the hidayah, then shafa'ah comes. And we will be taken by the Prophet and by Ahmad to paradise, inshallah. So the ta'wil, the batin meaning of this verse, as I mentioned, وَقُلِ أَمَلُوا فَسَيَرَ اللَّهُ أَمَلَكُمْ وَرَسُولُهُ وَالْمُؤْمِنُونَ, and say, go on working, doing good, because as I said previously, it was talking about tawbah, talking about sadaqah, zakat. Go and do good. Allah will see your conduct and His apostle and the faithful, as I said, a group of the faithful. Here the term is arm, is general, but the purpose, the target is khams, is a particular group of people, and His apostle and the faithful, and you will be returned to the knower of the sensible and the unseen, and he will inform you concerning what you used to do. Now, وَآخَرُونَ مُرْجَوْنَا لِأَمْرِ اللَّهِ إِمَّا يُعَذِّبُهُمْ وَإِمَّا يَتُوبُ عَلَيْهِمْ وَاللَّهُ عَلِيمٌ حَكِيمٌ. There are others waiting Allah's edicts. They don't know whether they go to paradise, they go to hell. Either He shall punish them or turn to them clemently. And Allah is all-knowing, all-wise. Now, most exegetes say that this refers to a group of people who are mentioned later on, the three people who did not go with the Prophet, peace be on him, and then they realized that what mistake they made, what sin they had done by disobeying the Prophet. They did tawbah. We'll see their story later on. وَعَلَى الثَّلَاثَةِ الَّذِينَ خُلَّفُوا, and Allah accepted the repentance of the three who were left behind and did all that tawbah. And they say this refers to them, that they are now مُرْجَوْنَ لِأَمْرِ اللَّهِ, they are waiting Allah's edict. They hope that Allah would but this irja is not from raja, of course, not from hoping, but they hope that Allah will forgive them. But their issue, their edict is postponed until the Day of Judgment. Irja is to mean to postpone, and murjauna l'amrillah means that their edict is postponed to the amrullah until he has his verdict about them. Either he would punish them or he would accept their tawbah. Now, there are a few things that we have to mention with regards to this verse, so inshallah we'll leave this for the next week. Wa sallallahu ala Muhammad wa ala
If you had shahadat here, then the Prophet gives you hidayah. If you have shahadat, and then he gives you hidayah, doesn't then shafa'ah take place in this world and not in the hereafter?
No, shahada does not pertain to us. Shahada is something that they have. They bear witness. لَيَكُونُوا شُهَدَاءَ عَلَى النَّاسِ وَيَكُونَ الرَّسُولَ عَلَيْكُمْ شَهِدَاءَ. They only bear witness. We can only follow the hidayah. And they witness. They bear witness to this fact that we have followed the hidayah. And they see the reality of what we have done in following the hidayah. And then on the Day of Judgment, our following and their shahada together would qualify us for shahada, for their shahada.
But can we also say that their shahada of so the first Imam was witnessing our deeds at the moment, he then sends us guidance in this world.
Mm-hmm.
And then he's giving, and therefore, because he sent us guidance in this world and we've come to the right path, we therefore won't need shahada in the other world, and therefore shahada is now taking place Can it all be a concept that's happening now?
Not really, because that hidayah which we receive from them, yes, it is in a sense a shafa'ah, because it's through them that we receive that hidayah. But the other side of it, on the Day of Judgment, we will see that it would be shafa'ah.
You mentioned about the realization that we will have in the time of Qiyamah, of our actions. Does it mean by the realization that, for example, we do something evil, like for example, if someone doesn't steal, and he causes some harm to the other person, and vice versa, if somebody does something good and he says that good effect on the life of the other people. Is it by the realization that we see the actual results of this action, evil and good, or realizing it something else? As you mentioned that we will be turned into ants or something else. Mm. Is that, if you can explain this?
No, the results are apparent things. We do not see it, but if someone really has insight, they can see the good results of the actions in this world and the effect that it would have on others. By reality of the actions, we mean that the actions are transformed into a different thing when we go to Barzakh, and they are transformed into a different thing when we go to the Day of Judgment, and they are transformed into a different thing when we go to Paradise. The example of it is the hadith of the Prophet when he went to Mi'raj, and he saw in Paradise that the angels were building a palace, and he saw a palace which was left halfway. The angels were just idle, they were not building any the rest of the palace, and he asked why this palace is left half through and they are not making anything. They said that the bricks of this palace comes from the other world, and it is Subhanallah walhamdulillah wa la ilaha illallah. This person was saying Subhanallah walhamdulillah, and we built the half the palace. Now he is not doing it anymore, so we are left without anything to build the palace with. That is what I mean, the reality of the actions change. Your Subhanallah walhamdulillah wa la ilaha illallah are bricks for your palaces in Jannah. That is the reality of the action. And of course, on the Day of Judgment, it would show itself in a different way. In Barzakh, it would show itself in a different way. So, it's not something that we can realize and understand.
Sisters?
Sheikh, there's two aspects to this question. One is that you've mentioned that in the Quran, there's a lot of information about the Shahada from the Prophet, from Allah, obviously. But you're saying that there isn't the mechanism of shifa is not clear.
Yeah.
Do we understand why it is that Allah has made it such that it isn't clear for us to understand that mechanism? And the other aspect is the mu'minun, are they our a'imma, or could they be ordinary people who are giving shifa?
Although the mechanism of shafa'ah is not clear for us, but there are many verses speaking about shafa'ah as well in the Quran. And although there are many verses speaking about shahada, we still don't know the mechanism of this shahada, how they witness the reality of the actions. We have many ahadith that your a'mal would be put forward to imam, say for example every week or every day. How is it put forward? How does he see the reality of everyone's actions? I mean, now Imam al-Asr is not with us. He certainly is only in one place. But we are told that he witnesses the amal of everyone, every follower, every Shia, or every Muslim at his time. But how is that? How does it work? How these amal are presented to him, as we have in many of our ahadith, that the amal are presented to him. So, neither the mechanism of shafa'ah is clear for us, nor the mechanism of shahada is clear for us. Now, the Quran talks about four groups of muqarrabun, as we have discussed this before many times, it's Nabiyeen, Siddiqeen, Ash-Shuhada, and As-Salihin. And of course, the exegetes say that these Shuhada are not the martyrs, are those who witness the action. There are a group of people, yes, who witness the action. And maybe all these people who are Shuhada, they can have some sort of Shafa'a. And Shafa'a has different levels. And even we have had that if a person, a faithful person, lives for 80 years among his family, then, and in these 80 years he has worshipped God, he has been a good Muslim, ordinary good Muslim, then on the day of judgment he would do Shafa'a for all his family. Even for those who are sinners, he would do Shafa'a for them. And of course he needs Shafa'a himself from the Prophet, peace be on him, and from Imam alayhi salam. So there are levels and layers of Shafa'a coming from very lower levels to the highest level, which is the Shafa'a of the Prophet. And that Shafa'a of the Prophet, everyone needs it, even the Imam alayhi salam. It's only through him that everyone is going to be taken to Jannah. For our Ummah. For other Ummahs, of course, it would be different. Then they have their own Shufa'a, their own prophets and others.
Yes. Every person will have a witness and a driver on the Day of Judgment. Who is this driver? And the other question, and who is the witness? Who is going to be the witness and the driver? The other question is, will be these witness and driver help Aima to decide, or are they just completely, know the letter of
Well, this particular verse which refers to driver and the witness in Surah Qaf, وَجَاءَتْ كُلُّ نَفْسٍ مَعَهَا سَائِقٌ وَشَهِيدٌ. Every soul has someone who takes him. Driver in this sense, sa'iq, is someone who moves behind the camel or behind the sheep and drives them forward. Okay. These are angels. This is different from the shuhada, which we have from human beings. And as we know, on the Day of Judgment, the shahada comes from many quarters. I mean, even the earth would bear witness for what we have done. Even for some people, their limbs would bear witness. Even the angels would bear witness. However, these are things which is related to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Them things are resolved in a human being aspect, in a sense that it is human beings who speak to human beings about what they have done, as we saw in the case of A'raf. So that shahada is something completely different, and that shahada the angels have, the A'imma know about it themselves. The knowledge comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for them. And this sa'iq and shaheed mentioned here is that you have an angel which drives you towards your destiny on the Day of Judgment. So you cannot move wherever you want. An angel will take you the way you deserve. So وَجَاءَتْ كُلُّ نَفْسٍ مَعَهَا سَائِقٌ. Someone who takes you, like a police officer who takes you to the court. That angel is like that. He will take you to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You cannot run away from it. And then there is someone with whom, an angel with whom there is your files and what you have done. So that officer which drives you, he doesn't have your files with him, but there's another officer coming with your files, wa shaheed, and the files of course is not in his hand, it's in his heart. The angel's heart, so to speak. So he will speak about what you have done. And it is, if you want to give an example, it's like hidayah in this world. Of course, no one would guide except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. إِنَّكَ لَا تَهْدِي مَنْ أَحْبَبْ وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ يَهْدِي مَنْ يَشَاءُ. You cannot guide anyone. It's only Allah who guides whoever He wishes. So guidance only comes through Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, by Allah, the work of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the heart. But still He sends prophets. We need those prophets to receive that guidance, to be guided by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And all these work on the Day of Judgment as well. Shahada comes from Allah, Shafa'ah comes from Allah, everything is from Him. But it is done through some people as well again. So it's the other, as the other side of the coin that we have here in terms of Hidayah, following and all these things, and the act of Allah coming all through, the same thing would be on the Day of Judgment.
Do you
want to
Okay.
Do not take these things further because we don't know. It's not something which is so clear for us, of course. It's just bits and pieces of information we get from here and there we put together. Yeah.
Yes.
So I encourage you to take it further. Okay.
You know, when you were just saying that the look at our books every week. I mean, are these the same witnesses that we can have the angels that probably, I mean, I'm just kidding, take these books to our own? I mean, how does it happen? Is it the same witnesses that would drive us on the Day of Judgment? Is it the same kind of...
As I said, we don't know. Yeah. We don't know. If the mechanism is not known for us at all.
You mentioned at the beginning that if you perform a bad deed, you'll see the reality of that, and then you do Tawbah. So, are we saying that if we perform a deed here, and then we do Tawbah on that deed, will we only see one reality, or, will that be erased, or will we see both realities? You know what I mean?
No, Tawbah would erase everything.
So, we won't see
it. We won't see that, no. No, because if you see that, then you will be... tormented and tortured, no.
We want the reality of the Tawbah and want the reality of the bad deeds.
Even the bad deeds, no, the Tawbah is a magical one, you see. It turns the bad deeds to good things. And this is the meaning of that Allah turns Sayyi'at into Hasanat. Tawbah turns Sayyi'at. That thing is there, it doesn't go away, it doesn't vanish. But the Tawbah will transform it into a good thing, into a good reality.
Sheikh, when you talk about the ta'wil and tafsir of the Quran, when we do it ourselves, we are saying that it's a tafsir because we try our best to read the Quran. So, when the Prophet and the Imams were explaining the Quran to the people, were they doing tafsir or ta'wil, or depending on the situation and the time of the people?
Yes. Both. They did both tafsir and ta'wil. Ta'wil is a meaning to which we have no access because we are talking about hidden meaning which does not appear clearly or readily from the text. So, not about all verses of the Quran they inform us about its ta'wil. Although we know all verses of the Quran have a ta'wil as well, but they did not inform us about it. Only a few verses of the Quran, they inform us about its ta'wil. However, yes, the whole Quran, people went to the Prophet, they asked about the meaning of some words or some sentences, and Prophet explained to them. So this is tafsir. And tafsir of the Quran is something that everyone can do. Everyone with enough knowledge of Arabic, enough knowledge, background knowledge, they can do tafsir of the Quran. But ta'wil is something that we have to be, of course, very careful not to interfere with it. It's not something that we have the knowledge of.
Thank you. Sorry,
Sheikh, that we keep giving you more questions. Just what Brother just last said about tafsir and ta'wil. You mentioned in one of your lectures in the past that Imam Ali alayhi salam wrote his translation of the Quran, his tafsir of the Quran. In that, he was putting in things, he was writing things that were not clear, that were not apparent. For instance, the names of people that perhaps Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala may have been referring to in the Quran. I presume that's part of ta'wil.
No, it was what all Muslims had witnessed actually, and it was part of ta'wil in the sense that, yes, maybe something was mentioned to the Prophet in general terms, and Prophet knew who those people were to whom this general term refers, and he had told it to Ali alayhi salam, and he had written it down. But it's not ta'wil in that sense. It's just information which we don't have and the Prophet has about the verse. about to whom they refer. Ta'wil is going to the hidden meaning and hidden aspect of the verses of the Quran, not to lost information about it. Because lost information is something which is apparent but is absent to us. But ta'wil is deeper than that even.
So the corollary, the question was, is the purpose of ta'wil in respect of the Quran, what is the purpose? Is it that if Allah had given us all the information in a sort of a longer Quran, if you like, with all the information hidden and not in the apparent for us, would it just be too cumbersome? Would it just be too long? Or is there some other purpose?
No. Well, you can't say that what Ali alayhi salam wrote for us was a longer Quran. Because this Quran that we recite is the Quran which is reported from Hafs, who was one of the companions of Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq, from Asim, who was a companion of Imam al-Baqir, from Abu Abdurrahman al-Sulami, who was a famous Shia of Kufa, from Ali ibn Abi Talib. So the Quran that we read today is the Quran read and recited by Ali ibn Abi Talib himself. And this is what was revealed to the Prophet. However, for example, when Allah reveals something summarily or in a general term, and He does not want to refer to specific people for some purpose, or even for the style. The style of the Quran is a very beautiful style. It goes into details of names of people. I mean, it would be useless if you had all those names in the Quran nowadays. I mean, you go and read the beginning chapters of Torah, you get bored because it's all names and different types of objects mentioned. And it's very boring. It would become very boring. The style is very beautiful. It has left out many things. However, the explanation came to explain what these refer to in that Quran written by Ali ibn Abi Talib, that explanation of the Quran written. And even without that, nowadays, we can benefit from the Quran very much. Ta'wil, of course, is different completely. Ta'wil is something that is mentioned, and the target of it is not everyone. It's a group of people. As Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq said, that Quran can be understood in four levels. Al-ibara, expression. Wal-ishara, allusion. Wal-lataif, touches of grace which comes in the Quran. Wal-haqaiq, the reality, real meaning of the Quran. And then he said, Al-ibara lil-awam, the expression is for the general public. Everyone understands. Allusions are for khawas, for the elect among the mu'minun. They can get those allusions when they get well versed in the recitation of the Quran, purify their soul, then they can get some allusions from the Quran, which is part of ta'wil. Now, those touches of grace are real ta'wil. That is for awliya, for people like a'imma. And haqa'iq, the realities, for lil anbiya. It's only for the Prophet. They can understand the realities of it. So, it is somehow structured so that everyone can benefit from it. Otherwise, I mean, if it came all with ta'wil, the general public couldn't benefit from it. That's the purpose.
Sheikh, there is a last question from the sister, but before that, if I understood structure, I've heard that there is a comment of the Quran related, attributed to Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq, because you mentioned about Imam here. Have you come across that tafsir related to Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq?
These are actually gatherings, collections of different riwayats which are mentioned by Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq, put together and is put forward as tafsir of Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq. Of course, we have one tafsir which is reported to be directly from Imam Hasan al-Askari, not collection of his ahadith, but a tafsir. But it is an attribution which is suspected very much, that whether this really goes back to Imam Hasan al-Askari or not. Other tafsir that we have related to Imam are just collection of their sayings.
Okay, we'll go to the system and then we'll have a last question. So, thank you very much, Sheikh.
Assalamu alaikum. I wanted to ask whether how do we have, in what collection do we find the Babi bits of the Quran, and how do we access them? Where are they available? And how do we know the authenticity of them?
Yeah, authenticity is a problem, of course, because these are riwayat coming from a'imma, and every hadith, every report has its own value and its own merits with regards to authenticity. I think all Shia hadith, especially those Shia tafasir, the exegesis, especially those which are based on riwayat, and the most outstanding of that is a tafsir called Tafsir al-Safi, composed by Faiz al-Kashani, who was himself a traditionist of 10th century Islamic calendar. The Tafsir al-Safi has all these riwayat, all these reports which talk about ta'wil of the Quran in it. However, again, the ulama doubts the authenticity of many of those riwayat. So, it should come from someone who is knowledgeable in riwayat as well. I think a good collection of these comes in Al-Mizan. At the end of every chapter, he has a section called Bahthun Rawa'i, tradition, a discussion of the traditions coming about the verses. And he brings all the riwayat from A'imma, he discusses it, he gives it its due value, he either rejects it or accepts it. So you have to go through all those discussions on riwayat and then find out about it.
Yes, thank you.
Century,
it was
Hijra
or
Hijra? Yeah, Islamic calendar Hijra.
Sheikh, the question of why Allah has decided not to put Ta'wil in the Quran so we can all benefit from it, could the answer be, when he says about the Shabihat al-Muhkamat, that itself is a test for us, and that the journey towards Aima, towards the source of Ta'wil, is itself a necessary journey we have to make, and we don't have the capacity otherwise to understand this and reach it?
Yeah, it could be, but the very clear aspect is that we do not understand Ta'wil. It is in the Quran, but we do not understand it. Even if Allah mentions it very clearly, still we do not understand. We have to reach that level of understanding. And this is why Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq said there are levels of understanding. I mean, you cannot give all the information about anything, about physics, mathematics, to a child. And all the information in the Quran, you cannot give it to a lay person. They should gradually move forward until they understand all these things. And there are some bits that no one but A'imma can understand. Of course, it's very hard. Even if it's put in plain words, we cannot understand it.
Yes, I think there's one more question.
Just a very small question. When Allah says,
what does
he mean? Which level
does
Allah mean for the general public?
Yeah, for Ibarat, for general public. It's made very easy. I mean, these are concepts which are very far-fetched, but easily everyone reads and they think that they get a meaning from it and they really benefit from it. Yes, it has become very easy in recitation and in understanding.
Which level?
Awam, lil awam. Yeah. In the apparent meaning. But even for others, I mean, the awliya also understand this very easily, understand those deeper aspects very easily. Again, it has become very easy by the, through the tongue of the Prophet, through the mouth of the Prophet, peace be upon him. It has all levels again. But the very apparent meaning is that, yes, everyone can benefit. It has become very easy. By the mouth of the Prophet, through the mouth of the Prophet. Okay, wa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Yeah, thank you, Sheikh.